Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you happy? Do you love him? We need a little, I think I'm getting it now. I was going to say we need a little more feedback over here, but I'm hearing it now, so praise the Lord. We're glad you're here. You can be seated for just a moment. We are just thrilled to have our visitors with us this morning. Amen. We have our pastor, Roel, and sister Cynthia Soriano with us this morning from Manila in the Philippines. And we'll say some more about that in just a moment. Brother Melvin and Sister Faye, where are you at? There they are. They're joining us from Calgary. Not Calvary, but Calgary. We've all been to Calvary, but they're joining us from Calgary in Alberta in Canada. So not sure why they wanted to come down here at this time of year, but we're glad they're here. Yeah. And we also have Brother Mario and Sister Josephine Chua from Evening Light Fellowship. God bless you. It's nice to have you with us. And they've come to support our brother that's going to be ministering for us this morning. So I just think that's real wonderful, real nice of them. Brother Melvin just happened to be in Phoenix and then heard that the brother was going to be here and decided to come down. So we just thank him for that, especially this time of year. Of course, it is cooler here than it is in Phoenix, so it's a little bit of an improvement. We got to go up on the mountain yesterday and enjoy 75-degree weather, so it's very, very nice. And so we're going to have our brother Roel come and minister for us here in just a moment, and I've told him it tears my heart out that everybody's not here. It's that time of the year when we go different directions, and we know there are special meetings in different places and people visiting family, and why not get out of Tucson in July, you know? So it's the time to do it. So you just pull for your missing brother and sister this morning. So we met Brother and Sister Soriano in Ruth, North Carolina, at Brother Joe Green's meetings a few years back, and just really enjoyed their spirits, and we're looking forward to being together with them again sometime. And then we were invited by my brain is just Brother Malevo invited us for our first trip, and so we came out. We were hoping to get to see Brother and Sister Soriano, but Brother Malevo, he had a brutal schedule that he had set up for us, and so we didn't get to visit at that time. And then the last time that we went out this last in March, Brother Danny Del Mundo had invited us to come out for his meetings, and so we finally got to meet our Brother and Sister Soriano while we were there. And then we also ministered at their church at the Overcomer Worship Center. And they're like us. They like to worship God. So, and a couple of amens now and then won't make him nervous. So, in fact, he'll get nervous if he doesn't get a couple of amens now and then. I know I do. Even if you're thinking, just slip one in there every now and then. Hallelujah. So, our brother is very missions oriented, very missions focused. And, you know, they've got 10,000 islands there. And so, you know, just pick one, but they've done, by God's grace, they've been used to do tremendous work over there. So we just want to continue to lift them up in prayer for their mission field. I told the brother this morning, I'm sorry, we don't have air conditioning here. We've got evaporative cooling. And I started to try to describe it to him, and he says, I understand what it is. And there's a lot of places that you go, and they don't know what evaporative cooling is. So I told him, just pretend you're on the mission field this morning. And you know, Brother Brown said America needs missionaries, so, you know. we're sorry you got to labor here. But so our brother can certainly empathize and sympathize with us because many years back, their church was burned along with a whole bunch of homes as well. So they've been through it, and I don't think it's a coincidence that the Lord sent them our way on this trip, and we trust that it will just be the first of many trips, opportunities for us to get together and arm in arm and work for the Lord. And so without further ado, we're going to invite him to come out and take his liberty, and we don't know what he has on his heart, but we trust that God is completely in control. And so just pull on the gift this morning. Amen. He counts the stars, one and all. If you don't mind standing this morning. He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees each sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name, but I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. Well, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I don't know what tomorrow may bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed. He knows my name, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name, when I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. Well, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. Yes, he does. He knows my name. Do you believe he knows your name this morning? Yes, he knows my name. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning.
Happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. He knows your name. Amen. You know, a lot of the American brothers cannot pronounce my name. It's Roel, you know. And one brother said, good morning, Brother Royal. But I like that. Amen. We belong to the royal seed of Abraham. And he knows your name. He does not only know your name, he knows your address as well. He knows everything about you. The burden that you have in your heart this morning, he knows everything about it. Every need that's represented in this congregation, God knows. I was in Arizona in 1998. That was 20 years ago. But I never got to see any of the churches here. It wasn't the time of the Lord. Maybe this is the right time. So I just want to appreciate Brother Doug for opening his pulpit to me. We sure had a good time when he visited my church in Manila and ministered for me. And the believers are still talking about the sermon, brother. What a blessing it was. And so I just want to thank the Lord that he brought us your way. Thank you, Brother Mervin from Calgary, for driving us over. And let's continue to pray for Brother Ken Boyer, Ken Boyer, the pastor in Calgary, because he's struggling with a serious illness right now. Amen. My wife is with me. Thank the Lord. Amen. I don't know what I'll do without her. For about 20 years, I've been coming, you know, coming back and forth to the U.S. She has served as my personal assistant, yes. My nurse, my bodyguard. She's everything to me. Well, thank God for wives. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning, I just wish to speak on about a simple subject. Like to entitle the two altars. The two altars. The question is, on which altar do you worship today? Hallelujah. My text will be taken from Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 to 6. It reads, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once more we come before your presence humbly. Laying before us is the word, the anointed word of the hour, which our human mind is not able to comprehend, unless you come down and help us, Lord. Anoint both the speaker and the hearer alike. And may we have a wonderful time of worship in your presence today. Because we want you to receive all the credit, all the glory and honor. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I wish to also express my gratitude to Sister Jennifer for receiving us yesterday. Amen. Thank you for the hospitality. Okay. Well, before I go to the message, let me just say that the Lord is doing some wonderful things in the Philippines. You know, we live in a nation that is comprised of 7,000 islands. And the Bible promised to reach the islands of the sea too, you know. And Brother Bam says that civilization, like the gospel, travels with the sun from the east to the west. You know, it started from the Middle East, then went on to Europe and to the United States, from the east coast to the west coast. And, you know, when Brother Branham made that quote about the gospel traveling with the sun, A lot of believers take that to mean that Brother Branham would meant for the gospel to come back, you know. But the gospel that does not come back this way. It goes all the way around the globe. And when it goes all around the way, around the globe, it we know that it's going back to the Middle East. But it has to come through the Far East first. That's the reason something is really stirring in the Far East, Eastern nations, and it's really opening up. In these last days, you know, it used to be, it was so hard to evangelize the nation of Japan, you know. Yeah. We're so closed to the gospel. But now, there are two groups now in Japan. Praise the Lord for that. Yes. And China has about 200 groups gathering now. You know, not real openly. But slowly, slowly, the churches are growing. Yes, and by the grace of God, the Lord has gifted our church. Our church, I would say, has the most number of outreaches in our country. Yeah. We're just a little church, about this size. But the Lord has opened the door. And we have started over 100 churches. In our, how many years? In our 37 years of existence. We want to thank the Lord for that. Amen. And just recently, the Lord has used a message presentation meeting or sessions that I devised. I got it from the Lord. To present the message to denominational ministers. Because it used to be that we try to witness to other Christians in denominations. And we get a response from them. You know, we get one here and two there. And it's not good in a way because we were being labeled as proselyters. Yeah. You know, we just proselyte people from other churches. So the Lord gave me an instruction. Don't go to the members. Go straight to the leaders. Because that way you won't be accused of proselyting. And so we started inviting the leaders, you know, offer them free meals and free literature, and sometimes we give them free Bibles. And we present the message without mentioning Brother Branham's name. It's just really a 2-day or 3-day seminar. We call it seminar. Seminar is a big thing in the Philippines. But, you know, the missionaries from other religious organizations, they go over and they invite the people to come to a seminar, but they charge them, you know. It charged them about $100 a piece to stay in a to listen to them teach their doctrines. But and so the pastors, they like what we do because you know the Bible, we believe in what the Bible teaches. Freely it was given to you. Freely you must give it. And so many people, they come, and we don't mention Brother Branham's name. We just give them a little bit of introduction of some of the teachings, some of the mysteries. We call the seminars Mystery Expo Seminar. It's an exposition of mysteries that are hidden in the Bible. And so they come and we present the teachings of Brother Branham using only the scriptures. Not mentioning Brother Branham's name, because the minute they hear Brother Branham's name, right away they Google. And the first hit they get is usually negative. they get all the negatives about Brother Branham, and it turns them off and, you know, discourages them from knowing more about the message. And, but praise God, at the end of the seminar, we usually drop the bomb on them. Because after they agree to what we have presented to them, that they are perfectly scriptural, and then they begin to get curious. Where are you getting all this? Because believe it or not, those theologians, the bishops, the leaders of denominations, they're a sucker for deep teachings. They don't want to admit it, but they love it. And there was this one occasion that we had a Mystery Expo seminar in one region of our country. And a presbyter, a district presbyter of the Pentecostal church, the Assemblies of God, they call it there, was present together with about seven of his Bible students. And I began to present the message, the doctrines. And, you know, the presbyter was my amen corner. You know? Was he really amening what I had to say? He was really agreeing. You know how Pentecostals respond to the word, you know. He was saying, amen, the loudest. There was about 50 ministers in that audience. And by the time we got to the end of the seminar, I got to introduce the message, Brother Branham, and showed them videos, showed them some photos and testimonies of leaders about his ministry. Then he begins to question me. You know, he didn't like it. You know, he didn't like to hear the name of Brother Branham. He said, he raised his hand and said, Brother Soriano, let me just ask you a question. And he said, I protest that you even showed that video and mentioned the name of this person, because we know that this man is a false prophet. They've been taught that. Brother Branham has been labeled a false prophet and a cult teacher. And we're all cult followers. So I told him, I'm sorry, sir, but I think it's too late for you to say that. Because you already said amen to all his teachings. And so once you get the head, you get the members as well. Usually that's what happens. But it doesn't happen all the time. Because there are a few occasions where the pastor receives the message and he gets kicked out of the organization. And he's left without a member, without the church, without the house, without any form of support. So, but in this way, the Lord has blessed us. And I can think of at least 200 churches that have opened their doors to us to be able to minister the message of the hour to them. I know of a lot of churches whose pastors have been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were baptized otherwise, but they received the water baptism and the message of the hour. They believe Brother Branham's message. A messenger for this hour, but it's just so hard for them to tell their people about the message. Can I have water, please? Thank you, brother. You know, it's hard when you've been teaching the Trinity for 30 years in your church. And all of a sudden, you tell them this is wrong. Your people will begin to question you and say, how sure are you that this is right now? So what they do, they invite us to come and minister to their own people. And little by little, we lead them into the further truths, deeper truths of the message. And by the grace of God, the Lord has blessed our effort. Amen. Amen. Yes. When we left the Philippines, and we've been receiving updates about the last seminar that we performed down in the Mindanao, the island of Mindanao. There were about 40 pastors that attended, and 15 of them received the message and were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And like I said, we've been receiving updates, and so far, 7 of their congregations have already been baptized as a whole. Amen. The oldest to the youngest. Praise the Lord. And so you pray for us, because it's kind of hard to reach all those islands, you know. But by the grace of God, amen, we're going to the most remote and the tiniest islands of our country to bring this message that we believe. Amen. 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 So if you have nothing else to pray for, just think of the Philippines. Amen. Something's happening there. Amen. On the way to the Middle East, back to Israel, the gospel has to pass our way. Oh, I'm so glad. Aren't you glad that Jesus passed your way one day? Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so going back to our sermon this morning, even after the fall of man tries to find a way to go back to God, you know. And we see that Cain and Abel, the offsprings, first offsprings in the book of Genesis, in their fallen condition, they still wanted to worship God. And the Bible said they built altars before the Lord and offered their sacrifice. Hallelujah. But you see, one sacrifice, one altar was honored, and the other altar was rejected by God. And by the grace of God, we're going to talk about the reason why. You know? Not all worship is accepted by God. You know, because like what happened in the garden, or in Genesis, Abel's sacrifice was accepted and Cain's was rejected. And I think of the grace of God when God said, after he rejected Cain's sacrifice, he said, if thou doest well, shall not thou be accepted. Yeah. Why are you mad? Yeah. Do it again. Yeah. I'm going to accept you. Right. Just do it right. Right. But Cain was so prideful. Yeah. He thinks everything that he's doing is right. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ways thereof is the ends thereof is the ends of is the ways of death. Right. Hallelujah. But instead of humbling himself and going to his brother who had the revelation, because both of them, they heard the story of the fall from the parents. After they sinned, Adam and Eve, they tried to take care of their offense and tried to take fig leaves, leaves from a tree and cover their sinful parts. Well, we all know that. And but God turned around and slayed an animal and replaced the fig leaves with coat of skins. I'm sorry, I'm trying to adjust with your language better. Brother Doug knows that I don't preach in your language. I don't use your language. We're Filipinos. We speak in Tagalog. But may God help me. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you think that I'm speaking slow, that's because I have to translate in my mind, you know, first. I can't do it like the Americans do. Okay. So we see that they were both told the story of what happened in the fall. But it's strange that that Cain remembered the fig leaves. That's the reason he became an agriculturist. He loves plants. He knew everything about plants. Plants and trees and flowers and fruits. And, you know, I saw an illustration in a religious book one time that showed there was a drawing of Cain offering on his altar withered vegetables and fruits that are getting bad already. You know, it wasn't a good altar. But no, that's not what Cain did. Cain brought the best fruits, the most beautiful flowers in his garden. Amen. He brought the best of the fruits and the vegetables. Amen. He made sure, you know, by the works of his hand, he had in his heart to tell God, you know, God, I'm going to make you an altar, and I'm going to lay before this altar the best that I can. I'm going to give you my best. I only will give you the best, God. I'm going to offer to you something that you cannot reject. That was what is in his mind. So Cain made a beautiful altar. Must be very colorful. Cain's altar was very attractive. Hallelujah. In contrast to Abel's altar. We'll talk about it later. But you see, on the other hand, Abel remembered the coat of skins. And he became a shepherd. And he offered to God the firstlings. The Bible said the firstlings of his animals. Hallelujah. What was absent in Cain's offering that was present in Abel's offering? Of course, the blood. But Ram said, you cannot get blood out of a turnip. You know. Now let me say this. When we talk about altar, we're talking about religious worship. Because altar is kind of the central object in any religious worship. And where people take their offerings before their deity. Right? And so we're talking about religious systems here. We're talking about man trying to come back to God. Go back to God and their approach in worshiping God. When we talk about altars. Hallelujah. And Brother Bram said in the message, it wasn't so from the beginning. Let me just read it. If God only requires a man to go to church and build an altar and worship, Cain was just as justified as Abel was. Both boys built an altar. Both boys worshiped. Both made sacrifices. Both believed in God. But what happened? Cain's was refused because he did not come God's provided way. And God's provided way, we understand by the message of the hour, is by the blood. Amen. And he said, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Blind Bartimaeus, he said this. Then everyone can come If religion only means to build a church for sacrifice and to be sincere, God would be unjust to condemn Cain because he done everything religious that Abel did. Everything that Abel did religious, Cain did the same. Both boys sincere. Both boys made an altar. Both boys made the sacrifice. Both boys knelt down. Both boys prayed. And both boys worshiped. But then again, one altar was accepted and the next one is not. Hallelujah. And then Brother Branham comes down to our age and he says, these two opposing spirits, these two approaches, in trying to come back to God, trying to bring worship, build an altar to God, there are two opposing spirits at work in this evil age. In a message guide of this evil age, he said, see the two opposing spirits that are at work in this evil age? Can you see it? Each very religious, Cain and Abel spirits again coming to their heads. Still the same as they started. The very same spirit is right here amongst us now in this age. One worshiping by beauty, probably referring to Cain's altar. One worshiping by beauty and by knowledge and by education and by science and by ethics, and the other one by faith of the revelation of the Word of God. Both men standing right in this building this morning. Oh my. Hallelujah. Brother Barron was speaking to worshipers. And he said, both men are standing in this building right in this morning. May God help us. Hallelujah. Because religion is not the answer. Sincerity is not the answer. The way we do things is not the answer. Beautifying our church, you know, contributing to the church, giving to missions, that's not the answer. You have to worship God by faith of the revelation of the Word of God. You see, what Cain placed before his altars is actually a reflection of his revelation of what happened. Hallelujah. So Abel offered the firstlings of his sacrifice. He thought of God when his son and daughter fell in sin and God made a way. He was not happy with man's way, a fig leaf religion. That's why we read in the Bible. Well, let's just go through it. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 7, and the eyes of them both were opened and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. And what was the purpose? That was to cover the nakedness. At first they didn't realize that they were naked. And then sin came in, suddenly, all of a sudden they knew they were naked. And right away, they made a remedy. This is man's remedy now. Fig leaf. Hallelujah. And so in verse 9 we read, and the Lord God called Adam unto him, where Adam, and said, Adam, where art thou? Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. I thought he clothed himself already. But when it comes to facing God, he understood that what he did didn't work. He was still found naked. Hallelujah. Fig leaf religion, Brother Branham says, does not work. Hallelujah. So one worships God by beauty and by knowledge and education, by science and ethics. And the other one, by faith of the revelation of the Word of God. Amen. As we worship this morning, what do we place before our altars? Because it's a reflection of your revelation of who God is. God is a holy God. He cannot stand sin. Hallelujah. You cannot come before the presence of God with sin. Hallelujah. And that's why he made this law of substitution. Somebody has to die in order for the sinner to live. The law of redemption. Somebody innocent should die and be offered to save the sinner. Hallelujah. And so Abel thought of God. Have you ever thought of that? God actually killed the first animal. The animal did not do any wrong. It was Adam that did it. But in order to save Adam, he had to kill the innocent animal. Amen. In order to produce a coat of skin, coats of skins, he had to slay the animal, the innocent animal. So this was what Abel was thinking when he came before the Lord to worship God. Amen. So he brought a blood sacrifice. So comparing the two altars, Cain was pretty. Cain's altar was pretty, educated. Barbam says, sophisticated, socially acceptable. While Abel's altar was probably messy. Amen. You know, I don't have to be graphic about it. It is messy and noisy. I believe when there is noise, there's life. You can't come to God and try to worship Him and be quiet and formal about it. When there is life, there will be noise. Hallelujah. You know, when the high priest goes into that most holy place, there has to be noise. The bells must continue to ring. Hallelujah. Because the minute it stops, you know that there's death. But as long as it's ringing, you know that there is life. Amen. Hallelujah. You know that the sacrifice has been accepted. Amen. I don't want to be just coming before God and worshiping God. I want to know that He receives my worship. So you see the two opposing spirits now? They're still at work. But then Brother Branham said in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, he said he was trying to compare the two groups of worshipers. He said one is correct, fundamentally correct in his doctrine. He knows his Bible. He knows the teaching, certain truths in the Bible. Hallelujah. But he doesn't have the Spirit. On the other hand, there's another group of worshipers that worship God in spirit. They like to be, emotional to the point of getting fanatical. And Brother Branham says, they know how to write a check, but they don't have money in the bank. The other group has a lot of money in the bank, but they just don't know how to draw it. Batman said, we need to be in the middle of the road. The Bible says you need to worship God in spirit and in truth. There has to be a balance in this when it comes to worship. Hallelujah. Batman said, now on this side, when people get converted, he's talking about people that are converted. really converted. He's talking about you. He's talking about all of us. Hallelujah. He's talking about message believers even. Hallelujah. Now, on this side, when people get converted, their mind is set right on Christ. And if they're just a little scholarly and don't keep under prayer, they get real cold and stiff and starchy. I look at that word starchy because we don't use it in the Philippines. Starchy, what's that? So somebody tried to explain to me that back in the days of old, you tried to iron your shirt, the shirt of the brothers, and you need to put some starch on it in order for it to get stiff, you know? So I got the idea. That's the reason many Christians are stiff like this. Can't even raise their hand. Oh my, can't even say amen. Cold and formal, starchy, stiff, cold and stiff and starchy and indifferent. Indifferent is they don't care. They don't care what the preacher says. They just sit there and become religious as Cain. Hallelujah. Amen. And then he said, if they're just a little bit nervous, they're just a little bit nervous, and if you don't watch, there's a danger to it too. They just get radical and wild. On this side, he said, they go on sensations and everything. That's wrong too. Hallelujah. But now he said the real church is a real sane gospel. Right in the middle of the road. It's not cold and starchy. Neither is it fanaticism. It's a real good old warm gospel. Heartfelt love of God going right down the middle of the road. But Bram said calling from both sides. That's right. Now, you're going to get that church right out of the word, the Urim and the Thummim. Oh my. But Abraham was saying you need to have the attitude of Abel. Worship God with a revelation. You know, we define faith in our seminars. We define faith as a revelation. Faith is something that's gifted by God to you. This is God-given. God revealed it to you. You did not work for it. You did not pay for it. Hallelujah. Amen. God just gave it to you by grace. Hallelujah. Of course, they didn't know that Brother Bam said it. Faith is a revelation. You don't find it in any of the dictionaries. You know, a prophet of God defined it. Faith is a revelation. Hallelujah. And Brother Bam says, you need to die with your own sacrifice. You must be born again. He said, like Cain when he slew Abel, he died on the altar with his sacrifice. Abel died on the altar with his sacrifice. After Abel offered his sacrifice, and killed his sacrifice for his sin. And then he died on the same altar with his sacrifice. He offered his animals and he killed the animals. You know, I was just thinking what Abel could have felt as he was killing his animals, you know. Those were his pets. He never seen death before. And you know how people become enamored or attached to their pets. I see our American brothers and sisters, you know, they even kiss their dogs in the mouth. They're so attached to their pets. They treat them as their children. But I like your son's pets better. Let's go back to our sermon. But Abel was attached to his animals. He loved them. He fed them. He took care of them. I mean, they didn't do anything wrong. And he had to kill them? Hallelujah. Amen. So you can just imagine the remorse, the pain that Abel was feeling as he was trying to kill the animals with a sharp stone. Hallelujah. This animal had done nothing. Hallelujah. I'm the one that sinned. I should be the one laying here on this altar. He had this in his mind as he was offering his sacrifice. I think Brother Branham meant this when he said you have to die with your sacrifice on the same altar, on your altar. Every time you worship God, you have to die on your sacrifice with your sacrifice, on your altar with your sacrifice. Hallelujah. You know, when we first did the Mystery Expo seminars, we were not getting any results. Number one, it's so hard to invite the denominational ministers, you know, because they're learned people, educated people. They know everything. They're possessed with the spirit of Laodicea. We have need of nothing. We know all things. We are rich in goods. Hallelujah. You can tell them and teach them anything. Hallelujah. You know, when the brothers and sisters in, when the brothers in Ohio, the believers in Ohio, learned about the result of what we were doing in the Philippines, they started doing an expo themselves. They organized a big one and invited 200 ministers. They rented an auditorium so the minister could come. Hallelujah. Out of the 200 that they invited, only two showed up. Didn't work. Because you see, the denominational people, the people in the denomination, they can see through you. They hate to see somebody that is more knowledgeable than them. If you stand before the denominational ministers with the air of, we know everything, you know, you have to learn from us. We can't learn anything from you. We cannot benefit anything from you. But you can learn everything from us. If you have that kind of attitude, you know, better than the rest, holier than thou, but the Bible says, it will not work. Doesn't work. Because the Bible says you need to speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. I can say I grew in knowledge. I came from Catholic background, and I became a Pentecostal, and I came to the message. I knew about the Bible, and then I knew more things about the Bible. I knew the mysteries now of the Bible. But I did not grow in grace. I just grew in knowledge. But we need to grow in knowledge, grow in grace, and in the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Let me quote to you what the prophet said. Hear ye him. You say, I let my hair grow long. Brother Branham, I want to look like a Christian. If it doesn't come from the inside, it will soon rub out again. Certainly it will. You get that holier than thou art attitude is what I was talking about. That's wrong, Brother Branham says. But if the Spirit of Christ comes in, it will actually bring forth new life. Then it's not nothing you do legally. Amen. That's the way that legalistic spirit out of you. You don't do it just because you have to do it. Just because you're a message believer, I have to look different from the others, from the rest of the world, the rest of the Christian world. If it doesn't come from the heart, it means nothing to God. Hallelujah. And Brethren says, you'll get away from the walls of those modern Babylon buildings that's fixing to fall anyhow. I just feel that in my heart when he said that. Let me say this. The most beautiful worship on earth is not a message church. The most beautiful church, I should say, the most beautiful altar in the world is not a message church. It's not the bride altar. Because our altar is supposed to be messy. Brother Bram says any birth is messy. Hallelujah. I don't care if it's a first class hospital. Amen. Or it's a barnyard where the birth took place. It's always going to be messy. Hallelujah. Amen. And Brother Bam said this about the holiness church, you know, holier than thou attitude. And do you realize a lot of holiness people came into the message? And when they came into the message, they brought this spirit with them. So when they're in the message, they're outwardly, they look right, but they have this attitude. No? They're prejudiced about other Christians. Remember, Brother Branham, Brother Doug was talking about it the other day, yesterday, when Brother Branham called Christians Canaan Fathers and Rickies and Ricketas. He seemed to be losing the feeling for the people. I believe if we begin to lose the feeling for the people, hallelujah. And that's just message people. I mean the people in general. Saints and sinners alike. We need to feel for them. Brother Branham said, there are children of God in every denomination, in every organization. And Brother Branham did not go against the people in there. He came against the system. It's the system that's sinful. What is this system? It's a system, it's a worldly, carnal system that separates the brotherhood. We're Baptists. We don't have anything to do with you Methodists. We're Pentecostals. We're better than you evangelicals or whatever you are. Holier than thou attitude. So, hallelujah. But Brother Branham said this about the holiness people. But I want to take you closer to home. Is that all right? Brother Bam spoke in his own tabernacle. And he said, and you Baptists, he was lambasting the Baptists. And you Baptists even call it close communion. You know what that is, a close communion? You know, when we hold communion, everybody's welcome. You know. But for the Baptists, it's a close communion. Exclusive. Only for Baptists, only. If you're not a Baptist, you can't take it. Right? So Brother Bam says, you're calling it a close communion. Now, you Baptists, you crow a little. God will take your horn off. He said, that's exactly right. You won't be able to toot it. He said, close communion. You separate yourself, seem to be holier than thou art. He said, remember, this is a Baptist tabernacle. Referring to his own tabernacle. He said, remember, this is a Baptist tabernacle. That's what you get. You organize yours. Oh, say, you say we are not an organization. And Brother Branham said, yes, you are. Certainly you are. You say, we are a fellowship. And Brother Branham said, yeah. To anybody that comes in the door, and this just the way you believe it. It's all right. But when he come against what you believe, you'll excommunicate him from your brotherhood. My. That's exactly right. And Brother Branham says, oh, you got a way of doing it. Maybe you don't call it excommunication, but you got your own way of doing it. And what way is that? That's a denominational way. That's a wrong spirit that's come up on message believers. Are you hearing me? Can that happen to a message believer? Can that happen to a believer that follows Christ? Well, was Peter possessed of the spirit of Satan one time? And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. And when James and John, the sons of thunders, they had this, they were revelated, you know, as far as the word is concerned. Hallelujah. And they wanted to pave the way so that Christ can come to a Samaritan village. But right away they showed their colors. They didn't want Jesus. So they came running to Jesus and said, Lord, what do you want us to do? You want us to rain fire upon these people and burn them to oblivion? And the Lord said, remember what the Lord said? You don't know what spirit you are of. Children of God, followers of Christ, message believers can be possessed this kind of spirit. But Abraham said, if you're not careful, you'll be one of these two. You'll be building an altar. You think God can never refuse your worship. But watch what he did to Cain. Hallelujah. Cain should have humbled himself. Amen. And went to his brother and said, Abel, how come I did my best? I offered to God the best. And he received yours and he rejected mine. How come? What's your secret? I'm sure Abel would have loved to tell Cain the secret, the revelation. He needed the blood. Hallelujah. He was so proud to do that. Hallelujah. Instead, he shot his brother. Brother Doug was talking to me about Arizona, you know. The spirit in Arizona shooting one another. Hallelujah. Instead of killing the influence of your brother, just because God is blessing him more, just because God seems to be vindicating his ministry, just because God seems to be honoring him. Hallelujah. You know, we have what we call in the Filipino, this is in the Philippines, this is very strong amongst the Filipinos. Brother Mario, you can attest to this, right? The crab mentality. You know, the crabs, put them in a basket, and they all want to go out of that basket. But in order to do though, they step on other crabs. Or pull on the other crabs that are ahead of them. This is what's happening. I wonder sometimes if this is not what's happening amongst us. We should be pushing each other and helping one another to get up there. Loving one another. Saying only good things to one another. Because we heard it. We heard it from the prophet. The Baptist people did not hear it. The Pentecostals did not hear it. We're the ones hearing the message. Straight from God's mouthpiece, the prophet of God. Hallelujah. Oh my. May God deliver us. May God help us. on these spirits. Hallelujah. And Brother Bram said, and when this great conference in Eden came down, look at the nature of man. It shows it today in man. Instead of man trying to come out and saying, Lord, I have sinned, he hides himself somewhere, and many times like Adam did, makes himself a fig leaf religion. Something he made up himself. Some kind of a creed that he would say and hide himself. How many churches congregate now and they have an altar before them, and what they have on the altar is their creed? Some place their dogmas on their altar. Some place some personality, their favorite preacher on their altar. They won't come to church if they know that their favorite preacher is not preaching. Hallelujah. Don't get quiet on me now. But just like it was with Adam, so will it be with every man who trusted in creeds. There will be a time when you stand by that your creed and your fig leaf religion won't hide your sins. God made a way, then he prepared a way for you. The blood of Jesus Christ does not only cover your sins, it annihilates it. Amen. Amen. Aren't you thankful that God has provided a way? If you love the presence of God, he made a way so you can come back to the presence of God, so that your worship can be received. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. He said, you can have yours, but as soon as they realized they had sinned, it separated themselves from God. And they had went in behind there. We had fig leaves on to make them aprons. And they realized that the fig leaf religion didn't work when it comes to meeting God. So will man today, with a self-made religion, find out it won't work, because it takes the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from all sin and to make us new creatures. We need to be born again, is what I'm saying. Unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And to see means to understand. To understand means to have a divine comprehension. To have the mind of God, so you can understand the mind of God, so you can understand what God means. Hallelujah. Understanding what God means is receiving a revelation from God. And you cannot take revelation from man. The source of revelation is God. You can't get it from the pastor. You can't get it even from the prophet. John types the bride. And John had to take the open book from the angel that came down. The mighty angel, the Son of Man himself. Not from a son of man. A son of man was used to reveal the Son of Man. Hallelujah. He was Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, was that mighty angel that came down from heaven with an open book. And John had to go get it from the hand of the angel. Not from Brother Branham. Not from the pastor. Not from your favorite evangelist. You have to take it directly from God, or it will be wrong. Before he could talk to Adam, he said this in conference, he could not talk to him naked. And he killed something. Something has to die. And something did die to make a covering that would hold this conference with God. God must have selected a certain tree in the Garden of Eden. And he called Adam and Eve and threw those old bloody sheepskins in there and said, wear these out there. What a conference. There were two altars during the time of Moses. Moses built an altar before the Lord. But there was another prophet that did the same thing. Balaam. But Abraham says, look at prophet Balaam and the prophet Moses. Both of them with 7 altars. Jehovah's altars, blood on each one. Not only that, but rams on each one. In numerology, exactly right number 7. Perfect, 7 rams. Just exactly alike. Both altars are fundamental, one as the other. The other was, but who did God vindicate? See? The one that was in his word. Fundamental doesn't mean too much. It's the revelation of God. Hallelujah. Don't come to me and brag that you know about the message. You know what the prophet said in his sermons? From 56 to 30 to 63. You know everything that the prophet said? You know everything about the prophet? Hallelujah. This is not the time to debate about the message. To brag about what you know about the message. But Abraham said, this is the time now to live the message. Our brother Marvin here, he was out in the world. And he was trying to witness to his wife, who was a Catholic, and then he turned, Baptist, and he turned fundamentalist, some kind of a formal religion. What Alliance? Alliance Church. Hallelujah. So I asked him, wasn't it hard for you, a Baptist, and a fundamentalist, a Bible believer, to receive the message of the hour after Brother Marvin witnessed it, share it with you? And she said, it wasn't hard because I saw the change in the life of my husband. You know, anybody can argue doctrine. Anybody can say, I'm teaching wrong as far as doctrine is concerned. Hallelujah. But who can argue about that life? You can't fight it. You can't fight it. It has to be alive. Yeah. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of God has to be in you in order to project that life. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. What about Elijah? He built an altar. But there's another group of preachers that built an altar too. Baal's prophet. School of the prophets. They were government-funded prophets. Hallelujah. Amen. Of course, you know what happened. God sent fire and vindicated Elijah's message. And he accepted Elijah's altar and rejected the altar of Baal's prophets. There are 2 altars in the temple. 2 worshipers in the temple. Jesus came to the temple and he saw 2 worshipers there. In verse 10, Luke chapter 18, verse 10 to 12, 2 men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other one was a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, probably looking at the other worshiper. I thank you, Lord, I'm not like him. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Message believers, we do all these things. But what is our spirit as we do it? What kind of a spirit are we under as we do it? What kind of a spirit are we projecting before God when we come to worship God? The pastor preaches a sermon and we say, that's for brother. And he says something, that one's for sister of you. Nothing's for you. It's for everybody, not for you. Oh my, is that the kind of attitude that you come with when you come to church? That you bring with you when you come to church? Let's continue reading verse 13. And the publican, standing afar off, he wouldn't go near the altar. He was standing afar off. He knew that the altar is supposed to be sanctified and nothing unholy is supposed to come near it. He was standing afar off and would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven. Oh my. He was filled with remorse. He smote upon his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's how he came to his altar. Realizing that he's a sinner. We're depraved men. We cannot do anything to help ourselves. We need to fully trust in the grace of God. There's nothing that we can do to help ourselves if you can only realize that. We need to be fully dependent upon the grace of God and the power of God to save us. Hallelujah. Coming to a close now. There are two altars on Calvary. Remember, Jesus was crucified on Calvary, and there were two thieves who were crucified with him. And at first, they were both insulting him, so to speak. They were both saying, "You're the Son of God. Why don't you save yourself and save us also?" You see, they don't have a revelation. They don't understand what they're saying. If Jesus saved himself and he could do that, he said, "I can speak and the Father will send a legion of angels to come and rescue me." But he didn't do it. Why? Because he knew that if he saved himself, nobody else will be saved. You should be thankful that he did not save himself. But towards the end, let's read what the Bible said. Luke chapter 23 verse 39. And then one of the malefactors which hanged and railed him said, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." At first, both of them were doing this in the other version of the Gospels. You can read it. But the other answering rebuked him. Now, something happened. There was a change now. Hallelujah. There's a friction between them. These are probably friends. Friends in jail, probably. Friends in crime. Partners in crime, probably. And then all of a sudden, they became enemies. This other one is not agreeing with him anymore. At first he was, but now a change happened. But the other answering rebuked him. He rebuked his friend, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation?" This man is going to die, but you and I are dying too. And you're saying these things? Don't you fear God? Hallelujah. And then he said, "And we indeed justly, we deserve this." Hallelujah. "For we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss." Oh my. Something happened to this man. Hallelujah. This man was never in church. He was never baptized. He never was in a Bible study session. He never went to Sunday school. Hallelujah. He didn't know the Bible. All he did all his life was hurt people and steal things from people. Hallelujah. But in the last minutes of his life, in his dying moments, he looked at the man dying on the cross and he saw a perfect sacrifice. The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. This man had done nothing wrong. Hallelujah. He is the perfect sacrifice. Hallelujah. He's the only one that can help us. And he said to Jesus, Jesus said unto him, and he said to Jesus, Lord, listen to his words. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Look how the Lord responded in his dying moments. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. We message believers know what paradise is. That's the region of the saved. And many people went before them. All the Old Testament saints, they went before them. Abraham was there. I believe Adam went there. All the other saints of the Old Testament went there. But this man, when he went into paradise, he was special. He had an escort. Wasn't an angel. Wasn't some holy man. Wasn't some holy prophet. It was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He said, this day you will be with me to paradise. Hallelujah. The grace of God. The grace of God. The grace of God. Hallelujah. Today as we worship him, we need to come with a humble spirit. Recognizing that we don't deserve heaven. We don't deserve anything good from God. But he gives it to us anyway. Hallelujah. Because we were in his thoughts. Before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Let's all stand and let's worship God. I asked the musician to come and play a little tune for me. If I can remember the song, the key of G. Go something like this. Whatever it takes to draw closer to you, that's what I'll be willing to do. Amen. Our sacrifice is Jesus the Word. He must be the central object of our worship today. He is the bleeding sacrifice, the anointed word of the hour, who is in our midst right now. For whatever it takes, sing it with me, to draw closer to you, Lord. That's why I'll be willing to do. And whatever it takes to be more like you, that's what I'll be willing to do. I'll trade sunshine for rain, comfort for pain. That's what I'll be willing to do. Let me die on the altar with you. I'll be willing to do. For whatever.
Amen. That's what I'd be willing to do. Amen. Yes, Lord, that's what I'd be willing to do. Or rain, or pain, that's what I'd be willing to do. Whatever it takes, I will. Yes, Lord, that's what I'd be willing to do. Amen. How many could say amen to that this morning? Hallelujah. Amen. Our worship is a reflection of our revelation. Amen. And our lives is our worship. So we look at it just as when we sing songs to the Lord, but that is part of it. The songs we sing, that worship, it's a reflection of our revelation. But what we go out and live. Amen. As our brother said this morning, that's the loudest sermon you can preach is in your life. They can debate and argue and fuss, but what do you do with the life when it's manifested? Amen. Brother Branham said, a man fully surrendered to God in the stature of the fullness of Christ. He said, that's perfect worship. Perfect worship. So it's what he's revealed to you now being lived out through you. So we're just giving back to him what he gave us. We're reflecting it right back. We're not giving him what we want to give him. We're not giving him what we think he wants. We're giving him what he gave us. What he's revealed to us, we reflect it back. Amen. And that brings glory to him. Because it didn't come from us, it came from him. Amen. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes to your will, Lord. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes to your will, Lord. I'll say yes where you yes, Lord, I'll say yes. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes to your will, Lord. I'll say yes. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'll say yes to your will, Lord. I'll say yes where he leads me, where he leads me. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, Lord, I'll say yes. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Wonderful thoughts this morning. Two altars. Now, which one are we at? Amen. There's an altar that's God's provided way. And the only reason that altar exists is because he revealed it to you. Amen. So we can come his way or we can come some other way. Amen. We all want to get back to him. That's the goal of every worshiper. Every kind of worshiper, intellectual or otherwise. But only he's provided a way. We come his way. Amen. We worship. Paul said, you worship what you know not. We know who we worship because he's revealed himself to us. Amen. And when that breaks on you, you won't be selfish with it. Amen. You won't get arrogant, as our brother said, and become another higher form of a denomination. Us four and no more, we're exclusive. You want everybody to have it. When you found that way, you want everybody. Everybody wants to worship God. Hey, I found the way to him. Here he is. Come and see. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be his name. Amen. We're so thankful for that this morning, and we're certainly looking forward to what the Lord has for us this evening as well. Amen. Come back for round two. Devil's got a black eye right now, but come back tonight and you'll see that other eye dotted and he'll go down for the count. Amen. And we'll go forth in victory. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen.